There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Monday. Live vocal talk over the hour. Glad to hear from you at 343-0106. Same number for the text line. Thank you, David. Sent us a picture. We got a couple calls here about a car fire. Actually, David pointed out it was a Corvette on fire. 65 southbound, just south of the St. Stephen's Highway 45 exit. So 8 Mile. The 8 Mile exit right there just south. And now getting a report, I just saw this. Somebody says there's another accident nearby northbound. Dalton, if we can work that up and see what somebody said. Northbound 65. So maybe, I don't know, somebody rubbernecking at the car fire? Is that car still on fire? I mean, usually, I mean, I know in like on the old TV shows like Chips and stuff like that, the car would stay on fire for the bulk of the episode to, you know, have enough time for Ponch and John to get there and run in do the rescue right before it blew up. But it seems like if this story, I mean, this is 10, 15 minutes old, you think it would be fully, it had burned all the fuel in there at this point. I don't know, but a car fire 65 southbound, so this could give you trouble if you're coming into town there at the 45 exit. Now we're getting word of an accident northbound in the same area on 65. As soon as we get more details on that from the traffic department, we will pass those along. Also, do y'all want to get into this? I mean, I could, they said there's somewhat of a controversy out there. I don't know. I mean, Dalton has said this many times. Just because somebody posts something on Twitter doesn't truly mean it's a controversy taking over the public discourse out there. But it says, with Adam Levine progressively stripping throughout his performance last night, exposing his chest, it questions the double standard. I mean, I mentioned it this morning with Janet Jackson and her performance back in 04. So I'm for it. You want to have that discussion? I'm for it. I think we ought to crack down. I think we ought to crack down on it and make it okay for ladies to go. I mean, if they want, what kind of, you want to get some ratings Super Bowl? Ladies go topless to win the Super Bowl. I mean, if it's okay for, they're arguing it the other way. They're saying because ladies can't do it, then the guys shouldn't be able to take off their shirts. Well, then I'm not for that. If you want to get into that discussion, I don't know that it's exactly a raging discussion out there, but it's at least something that somebody popped up here. Another one that I think we've gotten to a ridiculous point. Now, we can talk about the real news story. The real news story out of Virginia, which is one that's very interesting to me because I think you have a situation where the Democrats are going to try to probably work harder than Republicans to get rid of one of their own, the governor of Virginia, right? But at the same time, you have Northam in there, and it was pretty mum last week when he said what I feel has got to be something that even puts a lot of Democrats, even people that and I'd love to hear from you if this defines you, a Democrat, even somebody who would be pro-choice Democrat, what he had to say about late-term abortion. The nuance to this story that I don't know that if it's being talked about many places, maybe somebody is, but I think it's interesting to know that stories like this, now the word I think Mike Gallagher was talking about earlier, is that one of the old medical school buddies of Northam who was so upset, or maybe two of them that were so upset about what Northam had to say about the late-term abortion, about basically having the child born and then it's murder, okay, it's infanticide. That they release this yearbook pictures of Northam in blackface and then had the press conference, the wide-ranging press conference from Northam. if it was only known to political operatives because the people from medical school brought out that information, that's one thing. That's people taking, they're so bothered, they're going to say, oh, yeah, let me show you, I'll do this. At the same time, if it's not, I wonder if there's an analog in this story. In other words, that there's a repository of bad information about people that are elected officials that's not brought forward. You know, stories that are not brought forward until they help politically or help in those situations. You question the stories about Roy Moore, why they didn't come out beforehand until there was a special election going on. You wonder if there was something similar to this story sit on a shelf somewhere and get brought back out against Northam. We'll get some of those clips when we come back and talk with you right here on Midday Mobile. Phone number 343-0106. Moon Pie Minute on the way. Y'all stay close. Plus, Skinner tickets coming up.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Maybe we could just let y'all battle it out. Do it in person or something like that. Okay, yeah, welcome back. This is Midday Mobile. Hey, y'all. Sean Sullivan. Phone number is 343-0106. 343-0106. Also, your chance to win them before you can buy them. Lynyrd Skynyrd Farewell Tour with special guest. Very cool. Cody Jenks at the Wharf Amphitheater. That's tickets coming Friday. Your chance to win them coming up in just a little bit, so stay close. No, I was talking about this during the break here because we have dual. Now, David earlier said the car on fire was a Corvette. He said a Corvette on fire, 65 southbound. Then I'm getting from Keith. He says it's a Camaro. It's a Camaro. He said fire department's there hosing it off now. It's not a Corvette. It's an 86 model Camaro. Strong. I mean, but here's the problem. I'm looking at the picture here, the only picture I have, and I just see, Dalton, maybe we can blow it up and get some analysis here. I'm just seeing the back of the car is completely engulfed in flames, and I'm looking at that. I guess just looking at the front quarter panel, I'm looking at the front left quarter panel in this shot. That does, Keith, I'm going to have to side with you right now. That does look like a Camaro to me. So not a Corvette fire, a Camaro fire going on 65 southbound. And I still don't have any more details other than there's been an accident northbound there in the area as well. So northbound and southbound 65 there. Looks like just south of the Highway 45, the 8-mile exit, you got issues there. Okay, now another texter says, but north and southbound are down to one lane. Okay, they're down to one lane. Recent texter that I don't have your name, which is always handy to give yourself, like, you can use your real name, you can use a first name, you can use a nickname or something, so I can have something to refer to you. Right now I'm calling you unnamed texter. Sending me good pictures here from where the traffic is slowed down to one lane north and southbound on 65. Can you, if you're stopped, like I took that picture the other day when I was stopped on the Bayway, if you're stopped, can you snap me a picture? And so we can have some more in-depth analysis whether we're looking at a Corvette or a Camaro. Corvette versus Camaro. All right. Because this is a debate. This is a side debate over the text line. Right. A couple things here we want to get into. We'll talk about Virginia Governor. There's part of this. So Northam is part of it. This all started, of course, last week, right? And we can get in. We can talk about the what I consider outrageous ideas that are proposed in the state legislature, and then the governor talking about what his Democrat counterpart did in the legislature. Let's go ahead. Here's what set the whole thing. You had a bill brought up in the legislature, a late term abortion bill, and then on WTOP, which is a radio station out of Washington, you had the governor talking about this on the show, and it went. Here's a little clip from that.
no exception. There was a very contentious committee hearing yesterday when Fairfax County Delegate Kathy Tran made her case for lifting restrictions on third trimester abortions, as well as other restrictions now in place. And she was pressed by a Republican delegate about whether her bill would permit an abortion, even as a woman is essentially dilating, ready to give birth. And she answered that it would permit an abortion at that stage of labor. Do you support her measure, and explain her answer?
Yeah, and I wasn't there, Julie, and I certainly can't speak for Delegate Tran, but I will tell you, first thing I would say, this is why decisions such as this should be made by providers, physicians, and the mothers and fathers that are involved. There are, when we talk about third trimester abortions, these are done with the consent of obviously the mother, with the consent of the physicians, more than one physician, by the way. And it's done in cases where there may be severe deformities, there may be a fetus that's non-viable. So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So I think this was really blown out of proportion. But again, we want the government not to be involved in these types of decisions. We want the decision to be made by the mothers and their providers. And this is why, Julie, that legislators, most of whom are men, by the way, shouldn't be telling a woman what she should and shouldn't be doing with her body.
All right, so that, a little bit of it, and in context, because people wondered the context of it. So there's what the governor had to say. And we can, I know there's a bunch of people who just want to, I don't know that we're going to establish anything on the abortion debate here in this hour on this show. What I want to get into is the side discussion, and there is word out that possibly it was fellow classmates of Northam's at medical school that put the information out where he was in blackface. What, he's denied it now. We'll get to that in a second. Where he was in blackface, which I didn't know medical schools had yearbooks, and it looks like they were having a party or something like that. It's questionable if it came from fellow students at the medical school, that it could be as simple as I've heard that people that were very upset with what they heard Northam say were going to bring him down over that. If not, is this a story, meaning the blackface thing, that has been on a shelf somewhere? In a similar manner that there's cold storage for oppositional research, right, done in politics. And sometimes it's done by the same party that the person's in. One of those questions, how long had people known about stories like had come up around Roy Moore, when former Chief Justice Roy Moore was running in the special, and all of a sudden these stories came out. Now, the explanation was there was a tip given. You had, a Washington Post investigation go into it and come up with the stories, possibly. But we know in the past there's stories that have been out there and then used it. I mean, they'll be 5 years old. They'll be 8 years old. They'll be 10 years old. And I wonder if this is not a mechanism that, in this case, if it does turn out to be just coming from this Governor Northam's fellow med school students, that's one thing. If it is a story that somehow was leaked by political insiders, I'm bothered because whether the story is brought up or not, it still happened. You see what I'm saying? And if people sit on stories waiting for the time to use it, it's kind of a chilling thing that this research is being done, it's out there, and then it sits there and everything's fine until that person does something that either is scary to the opposition party because that person may win, or the party that they're a member of wants to get rid of them. Of course, news today that Northam's been meeting with his staff trying to decide what to do going forward. There's a lot of people, a lot of Democrats calling for him to get out. And then he's also done a lot of changing his statements. And this is what's weird. At first, he says, in so many words that he admits that he, that was on his page on the yearbook and it could have been him in that costume. Then he turns around in that press conference and denies that.
There is no way that I have ever been in a KKK uniform. I am not the person in that uniform, and I am not the person to the right.
Okay, so he does that, and then this is the one. This is what put up the red flag for me, that he does say, well, that wasn't me. But let me throw you something here as an admission, and then we'll use this one.
I had the shoes. I had a glove, and I used just a little bit of shoe polish to put under my or on my cheeks. And the reason I used a very little bit is because I don't know if anybody's ever tried that, but you cannot get shoe polish off. But it was a dance contest. I had always liked Michael Jackson. I actually won the contest because I had learned how to do the moonwalk.
I don't know that he can beat this. First of all, did anybody hear that? This part of it really stood out to me.
And the reason I used a very little bit is because I don't know if anybody's ever tried that, but you cannot get shoe polish off. But so
in that, am I stretching too far that makes it seem like he had some experience in the past with using shoe polish? That's why he used very little when he did the Michael Jackson contest. And if he was such a big Michael Jackson fan, he had to get his wife to prompt him for the name of Michael Jackson. But I think that's one of those tells where here's the big, and I don't know, we'll find out. He's now vehemently denying, and if it was not him, then he doesn't need to take the arrows for it. But if it was him, and he's trying to throw out that, well, I didn't do that very offensive blackface, but I did this other one that's kind of tame. So I'll take the heat for this one, which will throw you off the trail of the first one, and I should stay in office. It's a very strange thing going on here. So there's one discussion about the blackface thing, which is a whole other discussion of, you know, what he did in med school. And this is, you know, here it is, the pro late term abortion governor, Democrat governor of the state of Virginia. So no, there's the identifier. I would still suggest that you make sure you are accusing the right person. I know it'd be so easy because I have so many political differences with this guy to just say, I'm sure everything is true. The same way I would like all people to be fully vetted out. But I think there's some smoke here. There needs to be some investigation into this. But the other question is he being, did they pull a story, they being whatever political operatives, most likely the way this seems, I don't know for sure, the way it seems, Democrats, had this story in cold storage somewhere and are bringing it out now? Or why didn't newspapers in Virginia could they have not found this earlier? You just wonder. You wonder how many stories are out there and they are used, when needed. And I mean, you see, is there an analog here? Do you think there's an analog with what was brought up on Roy Moore during the special election? All right, I see that there's one story. Of course, there's the abortion story, but there's a whole other story there about the way the political game is played at a local level and a national level. Thank you, James. By the way, James points out on the text line, and he's in the car business. He said, "Please let the Corvette owner," but I got to scratch that, James. The possible Camaro owner know that he has James has a, what is that, 2016 Z06 Terra. To replace the fire damaged one. There you go. That's the way to be trying to do business. Oh, also, he said medical schools have parties every time the wind changes direction. All right, so there you go. I did not know that. For some reason, I thought they were busy, you know, laboring over, you know, learning to save people. They even have proms at medical school. Really? I did not know that either. I'm learning as we go along here. All right. You want to do it right here? Okay. Let's do this. Caller number 6. Does that work? All right. Caller number 6. Your chance to win a pair of tickets. Go check out Lynyrd Skynyrd, special guest Cody Jinks, Wharf Amphitheater. Show coming up September 28th, Saturday, September 28th. Tickets go on sale Friday. You can win them right now on Midday Mobile. Good luck. Caller number 6, 343-0106. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 136, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Congratulations, Danny Cox. Well, you don't have far to ride. Danny from Gulf Shores checking in. And just won a pair of tickets before you can even buy them for Skynyrd, last of the Street Survivors farewell tour with special guest Cody Jenks. That is really cool. A Wharf Amphitheater, that show coming up September 28th, Saturday, September 28th, 7 p.m. show. And tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. Ticketmaster.com, Wharf Box Office, or charge by phone 800-745-3000. Once again, tickets go on sale Friday, but your chance to win them before you can buy them all week long right here at FM Talk 106.5. All right, other than the now trending debate of Camaros and Corvettes that is going on, we can keep that up on our different social media platforms if you would like to. When did I start this war? A couple of years ago. I'm not a car guy. I've always had trucks or SUVs, pretty much pickup trucks my whole life. But if I was in a situation to have like a driving car, like a Saturday car, you know, something like not a truck, like if somebody said you have to have one more vehicle for you, and it's not going to be a truck because that leaves out like the Jeeps and all this. So if I had to get a car, that Camaro, the new Camaro looks cool to me. Last couple of years and performance looks pretty good. I know it's going to start, all the Mustang people are going to get on my case, but I'm just showing you what I see out there. All right, tomorrow night, State of the Union. This is going to be a delayed State of the Union by, a week or so here. But it is happening tomorrow night. A president will have the ear of the United States and obviously a lot of items to talk about. He did a little talking with Margaret Brennan from Face the Nation. And they were running that, of course, on CBS yesterday, talking about it before the Super Bowl. First question here before we get into some more political questions. Interesting. Margaret Brennan asked the president, you know, what if his son wanted to play football?
Would you let your son, Barron, play football?
It's a very tough question. It's a very good question. If he wanted to, yes. Would I steer him that way? No, I wouldn't.
Why?
I wouldn't. And he actually plays a lot of soccer. He's liking soccer. And a lot of people, including me, thought soccer would probably never make it in this country, but it really is moving forward rapidly. I just don't like the reports that I see coming out having to do with football.
Concussions?
Yeah, concussions and other things, knees and hips and shoulders and elbows and everything else. I mean, it's a dangerous sport. And I think it's really tough. I thought the equipment would get better, and it has. The helmets have gotten far better, but it hasn't solved the problem.
All right. If you see Edelman, you saw Edelman last night hitting, that would give you knees, hips, and head injuries just from one hit. Okay. Then the conversation on the interview from Face the Nation went to more politics here, and Margaret Brennan asking the president if he thinks the Democrats are lining up to impeach him.
Are you prepared for an attempt to impeach you?
The only way they can win, because they can't win the election, is to bring out the artificial way of impeachment. And the problem is you can't impeach somebody for doing the best job of any president in the history of our country for the first 2 years. And people have seen and people have watched what we've done.
It's
whether
a political
it's tax
call,
cuts.
Though.
No,
it's
political,
it?
But you know, it's supposed to be high crimes and misdemeanors. Well, there was no high crime. There was no misdemeanor. There was no problem whatsoever. The only thing I've done is created maybe the best economy we've had in the history of our country. And the only way they can win, I look at these folks with the horrible situation right now on abortion, where they're saying late term. They're not even talking about late term. They're talking about the baby is born and they can kill this child, this innocent child. What they're doing on abortion, what they're doing on high taxes, what they're doing at the border, what they're doing is in so many different ways. They want to cut our military. They want to take our wealth and give it away. They want to tax people, not 70%, it's 100%, because what they want to do, you'd have to quadruple taxes. You wouldn't have enough money anywhere throughout the whole world. You wouldn't have enough money. So if you look at what they're running on, they can't win. So the only way they could possibly beat me, because they're not going to win the election,
you're
and they understand that. They understand they cannot win the election.
Okay, so that conversation is going to be interesting come tomorrow evening with the State of the Union. You'll have the president having a chance to address the things the Democrats are leveling at him. But you know, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi is going to be standing right behind him. At this point, both sides are so far away on something that could avoid, even though they could do a CR, another CR, but in the idealistic sense, so far away on anything that would break the impasse that would February 15th, right, bring on the second partial government shutdown of the year. And the president has a chance tomorrow night. I don't know. I mean, what does Art of the Deal say to do in that situation? It would be interesting. Do you butter up Pelosi? Do you set a if you're the president? I mean, if you're doing the State of the Union and you have Pelosi right behind you, you say, you know, do you just dog out the Democrats the whole time, or do you turn to Pelosi and say, you know, Speaker Pelosi really has a chance to help us work this deal and get something done for the security of our country and the better of all people? I mean, I wonder if the president will try that tact. Also, the president mentioning in an interview a discussion of this is tough. So what this means, as the president has called for pulling troops out, right? I mean, the whole discussion of Syria, we're talking about what to do then if you pull troops out of Syria. What do you do about Iraq, as, you know, our men and women that are in Iraq are there. Actually, the way the situation reads, they're there at the pleasure of the Iraqi president. So it's not in other words, power's been handed back over to Iraq. So therefore, the fact that U.S. troops are there are because Iraq, I know it's hard to swallow, but I mean, the way I think it's worded is because Iraq says it's okay. President asked about pulling troops out of Iraq, and, you know, he has mentioned move. And I think this is one of the forgotten parts of Donald Trump, the candidate's campaign, that I think got people out to vote. And that's an idea of reducing the footprint of the United States around the planet as the world's policeman. It is often forgotten in a discussion of walls, in a discussion of taxes, in a discussion of kneeling players. But do you remember that? If you go back, I mean, I can run you the tapes here, or the MP3s, of the president talking about that on the campaign trail, and that has come up, and that's been obviously one of the bigger things in his foreign policy. And the Syria would be one of those examples of the president talking about bringing troops back. What about Iraq? Margaret Brennan asked that as well.
Well, we spent a fortune on building this incredible base. We might as well keep it. And one of the reasons I want to keep it is because I want to be looking a little bit at Iran, because Iran is a real problem.
Whoa, that's news. You're keeping troops in Iraq because you want to be able to strike in Iran?
No, because I want to be able to watch Iran. All I want to do is be able to watch. We have an unbelievable and expensive military base built in Iraq. It's perfectly situated for looking at all over different parts of the troubled Middle East. Rather than pulling up, and this is what a lot of people don't understand, we're going to keep watching.
All right, so that could mean, I think, as many as 5,000 troops associated with that in Iraq. So we'll see. I mean, a little bit of a turnabout. The president talked about reducing forces and bringing folks home, but in this case, saying that he's going to keep this base in Iraq. Of course, I hope the Iraqis won't come out and talk about this whole bunch, but they could, couldn't they? I mean, if U.S. troops are there at the pleasure of the Iraqi president, as much as it's, you know, you'll say, "Wow, Sean, why are you saying that?" Because it's true. I mean, it doesn't mean I like it, but it's true. Will they be in a situation now that they're kind of going to be, "Oh yeah, well, we're going to pound our chest and say, y'all got to get out"? We'll hear about that, I'm sure, tomorrow during the State of the Union address tomorrow night, and we'll talk more about that at length, actually, on tomorrow's Midday Mobile, as we'll lay out, because the president, like all other presidents, will lay out it'll leak out through normal channels what the outline. Now, that's just an outline with President Trump. I mean, he'll riff on all kind of stuff, right? But it'll be an outline of what the president will be talking about tomorrow night during the State of the Union address, and we will kind of break that down during the midday show. All right, phone number, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. I'll try to get some of these texts read during the break. Oh, and then speaking of the text line, okay, so let me use Midday Mobile for my own benefit. I do this a couple times a year. I'm asking you. So we're in the process of the Sullivan House, and I'm going to get in trouble because I know there'll probably be other people in the pack that will hear me, and I'll have to deal with the grief, but I'm ready to... We're in the process of building out a Pinewood Derby car right now at the Sullivan House. Back in the olden days, I did this with my father, an engineer, and built a heck of a Pinewood Derby car. Unfortunately for my son, I don't have the engineering skills of his grandfather. Building it out, but if you have hacks, you have tips, you have little secrets I need to know, legal stuff for Pinewood Derby cars, text it in, 343-0106. I appreciate it. We'll keep it on the DL.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. By the way, too, somebody's asking about the Skinner tickets. Yeah, it's Leonard Skinner, special guest Cody Jenks. Tickets go on sale Friday. I'll have another shot for you tomorrow to win tickets. We'll be doing it on one of the two programs, either Mobile Mornings or this show, Midday Mobile, from now through Friday. So your chance to win them before you can buy them. But if you're like me and you got to buy them, it's going to be on Friday starting at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster.com, the Wharf box office, as well as charge by phone, which is 800-745-3000. Oh, and speaking of music, too, first, and just a side note, so Pink, right, and she's been in the news lately. What was late? I'm sure criticizing the president or something. Pink, the pop singer, right, Pink. Her husband, a story from KUTV out of Salt Lake City, Pink's husband, Kerry Hart, took to Instagram Wednesday to defend teaching his 7-year-old daughter how to shoot a rifle. An Instagram post from the musician's husband caused a storm on social media as he defended teaching his daughter Willow, 7 years old, how to shoot a rifle. Looks like the kid's got a 10/22 there with a bull barrel, synthetic stock, one of those, probably a Hogue stock, it looks like. Just guessing. I know nothing about guns. And she's sitting there shooting the rifle. Cool. Now, I will say, I guess it doesn't matter when your wife is a super successful pop star, but he obviously didn't pay attention in English class very much. The spelling in this, I don't know if you see some of this guy's post. I went through and read through this. It's like bad. But so maybe I like what he's doing with his daughter, teaching her to shoot, and maybe she can teach him some spelling at 7 years old. He puts up a video of his daughter shooting the rifle, 22, double deuce. And he starts getting, he says here, haven't poked the parent police bear in a few days. Wills, I guess that's short for Willow, and I shooting the 22 rifle, she's getting pretty good. Can hit a 12-inch pie plate from 30 yards. Started her shooting at 3 years old. For the record, none of us hunt. Just enjoy shooting for, and none, N-O-N. None of us hunt, shooting for sport. I'm raising kids with the knowledge of firearms, how to handle them, shoot them, store them, and avoid them in uneducated hands. I'm like, all other than his spelling, I'm all for this guy. Good for him. And a side note, I thought about, when I saw this, attaching a video I put up on Twitter, if you're one of my Twitter followers, at FM Talk 106.5, a video I put up last week of my daughter shooting a rifle, bigger than a 22, shooting 243, and like I said, shooting it off the front porch like you can in Washington County. And I put that, and I thought about linking that through to this guy, but after I looked at the comments that people put, this is a 7-year-old daughter in here, the comments that they were putting in about not just him but his daughter, I said I'm not gonna link my family to that story. But I mean, yeah, somebody could come after me. I've got on my Twitter feed, if you want to see it, at FM Talk 106.5. God forbid there's a Sullivan child shooting a rifle.
Well, Kerry Hart, he came up in freestyle moto, so lots of slams in his career. I'm not saying that's why he's misspelling a lot of words.
Like the motocross stuff, the high jump stuff?
That's right, where they jump.
They used to show that, too. You know, we were in a discussion the other day, you and I and Kelly on the morning show, about stuff ESPN used to show when there weren't other sports going on,
uh-huh.
World's Strongest Man competition, all that. They used to show, and I used to watch that stuff, the motocross stuff where they do the high jumps and they get those bikes 40 feet in the air or whatever it was, is unreal.
Yeah, and then the moves that they've been able to do have just gotten progressively crazier and crazier.
That's pretty cool. If that would be on, I would stop. I don't watch a lot of TV, but I would stop and watch motocross.
I think I saw them do because they had their own, like, almost like monster trucks. They would go out and do freestyle motocross events.
Right.
And I remember a couple times at Pensacola.
Do they do the high air thing where they get?
Oh yeah,
that's like really what I care about, is watching them hit those loop those ramps and go up.
Yeah, I classify those guys in the same category as bull riders.
Yeah,
you got freestyle moto, bull riders, and then and skateboarding, the half pipe.
How about downhill skiing?
Downhill skiing too, because I mean they're flying.
Yeah,
flying down the. But I'm not saying that's why he misspells a lot of things, and also tattoo shops. He founded Hart and Huntington tattoos. So okay. Lots of moto slams and lots of ink. probably.
Yeah, I don't think the ink messes you up for spelling, but I think the head contusions probably do in that. So I'll cut him some slack. See, I did not know about Pink.
He made out all right marrying Pink, I would say.
Yeah, she's bringing home the bacon.
Yeah.
He shows a picture of his daughter learning about firearms in a response with him there, responsible manner. And it's just, I'm going to pop this up on my Twitter feed, retweet this story, but it's just mean.
I saw another video on Twitter, a lot of people going after this kid. He looked like he was maybe 4 or 5 years old, and I don't know if they were at a gun show or some big gun shop, and the kid was had a bolt action rifle,
mm-hmm.
and he was showing exactly the entire process of loading.
Yeah.
And a lot of people said, "Can you believe this kid knows how to use this automatic weapon?"
where is that so I can fall in that scrum?
I need to find it on Twitter and send it to you. But
yeah, so I'll just jump in there.
And anytime you have a kid who's either properly learning how to use a weapon, or heck, even if they have. If they have any weapon in their hand, whether mm-hmm. it's a muzzle loader or mm-hmm. what have you, the Twitter police are going to come for you saying you're teaching your kid how to use automatic weapons.
Everything's automatic.
Everything.
All right.
If it has a trigger, it's automatic.
All right. And I appreciate Roy and others. They're suggesting, and the Pinewood Derby folks know what I'm talking about, do a rail rider. I've been told to avoid rail riders because you can't be sure of the quality of the track you're running, and if the track is not pushed together properly for your Pinewood Derby track, rail riders can get in trouble. Maybe
Uh-oh.
If I can... So the discussion of whether to try to have that Pinewood Derby car stay kind of bouncing down the middle of the track or let it get on one side and run down.
Now, is there a dad class in this? Do you have the kids class, and then are the dads able to have their own? Or?
There's a whole dad world. If you go online, I have fallen into a rabbit hole of epic proportions when it comes to Pinewood Derby tricking out. And it's almost like these dads have, like the kids somewhere in the back of the house going, "Let me out of the room, Dad. Let me out. I want to take part two." And dad's up there live chatting about uh-huh. Pinewood Derby. I feel like I'm in trouble because these folks have, they got it going on. So y'all check it out. If you've got a tip you can help me out with, if you've got a hot tip on how to just get an extra little advantage here when I come to roll down the track with the Pinewood Derby vehicle for the Sullivans. If you can hit me up, I won't rat you out. If you don't rat me out, you can hit me up at FM Talk 1065 on Twitter, or you just send us a text at 343-0106. All right, we'll do it again tomorrow.
Yeah, for sure.
See y'all for Mobile Mornings.